Good morning. It's 3rd of July. In our New Testament reading today, we have Matthew chapters 3 and 4. Chapter 4 deals with the Lord's temptations. I'm going to read to you a section from Brother Melva Purkis' book, A Life of Jesus. Brother Purkis considers the temptation to turn stones into bread and then writes this. In resisting this temptation, Jesus brushed aside the suggestion that he should fall back upon the divine gift of power to ease his suffering. He desired no exemption from the common lot of humanity. He demonstrated his faith by a committal of his bodily needs into the hands of his Father, and he showed the power of God's word in the presence of spiritual danger. The triumph of Jesus points the way to victory in the lives of all those who follow him. We do not require the extreme rigours of the wilderness to tempt us to make stones into bread. Most men live by bread alone, and do not discover until too late that all is vanity and vexation of spirit. The true disciple learns that the flesh profiteth nothing, and the word of God, communicated by his Spirit, and living in his Son, is spirit and life. It is a supremely important lesson that the life is more than meat and the body than raiment. The battle was being won, but the conflict was not over. With extraordinary subtlety, a new attack struck suddenly at the foundations of the previous victory. The doubt persisted. It had still to be successfully challenged. Jesus was tempted to a practical demonstration of the trust he claimed. Moreover, the word to which Jesus had appealed was used to support the second test. In effect, the temptation was, "You have acknowledged your confidence in God and in his word. Prove it by your actions." The word tells you that God will give you his angels' charge over you to keep you and prevent you dashing your foot against a stone. Throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple and show your confidence in that word and in your Father, if you are the Son of God. This spectacular demonstration will also be a dramatic opening to your mission and assure for you a national response. But Jesus answered with strength and courage. His reply, "It is written again," must always be the response to those who wrest isolated scriptures for their own ends. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God." The context of the quotation showed that the children of Israel had repeatedly tempted the Lord by disobedience and distrust. Time and again they had rebelled against God by a desire to go their own way. To have wavered before this temptation would have been to abandon at the outset the life of faith which Jesus came to live. He would have sought his own way to show himself to Israel, rather than the spirit of waiting upon God. There had been a subtle omission in the quotation from the 91st Psalm. The divine promise was, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." The way Jesus trod was the way his Father appointed. Any other way would be a faithless rebellion and a temptation of God. Jesus was to appeal to the people's wonder, not by a spectacular demonstration of power, but by so startling a manifestation of love that a hardened Roman officer was to cry, "Surely this was the Son of God." In this victory too, there is infinite encouragement for the disciple of every age to wait upon the Lord in patience and trust, neither beguiled by subtle sophistries, nor tempted to subject his high relationship to artificial strains. There is so much we can learn from the Lord's experiences in the wilderness. Thank you for listening to me.